Figueira, a spiritual center at the service of future humanity.
This recording by Yatri is an English version of the talk she gave in Brazil in March 2007.
We are gathered here today to reflect on the unique organization of this spiritual center of Figueira. But what is this spiritual center? And why is it organized in a unique way? Who are we? Where did we come from? Where are we going? At a time outside of all time, eternal light took on form and a tiny globe among the millions in the cosmos began wending its way in the universe as planet Earth. This planet was destined to receive and to care for the human, animal, plant, and mineral kingdoms in a mutually supportive way of life. In the very beginnings, the first two human races were not physical. During those races, the bodies of humans were being prepared to inhabit planet Earth, which was becoming denser and denser. An intelligent race came from a certain planet and merged with a race from another planet, a race that was very crude. Monads, or spirits, that belonged to a humanity from other spheres and which had not evolved sufficiently to follow the course destined for them, also came to Earth to become part of this humanity. All this began to hold back the progress of humanity's consciousness and to open up gaps through which the brotherhood of evil could enter and infiltrate the gut level of this humanity that was still being formed. The planet continued materializing. The life of the beings there continued plunging into matter, bringing about the third human race. We know from the Akashic records that in prehistoric times, about 18 million years ago, the physical Earth formed a continent known as Lemuria. During this third race, the Lemurian race, human beings developed their physical bodies. This brought about an emerging sense of self, of myself separated from yourself, separated from all other selves, and separated from everything else that existed in the tiny planet and beyond. It was a forewarning of the ill-fated sense of mine and yours that would lead humans astray throughout their evolutionary path on Earth. Humanity was given choices, and it opted for free will and for sexual reproduction. Intelligence was grounded on emotions. Everything was seen as merely a means to make earthly life more pleasant. Peoples from other planets came to bring knowledge to humans of the Earth, agriculture, astronomy, laws to move in and out of the planetary sphere. Sublime energies of the cosmic brotherhood sent beings who brought the teaching to love one another, and showed humanity how to uplift itself and follow its real destiny. Some humans stood out in the midst of the density of the Earth, and they were given support by intraterrestrial civilizations. But excessive concentration on the physical, material body intensified the instinctual forces. Densification increased, and egocentrism followed in close pursuit. Energies granted to humans for their development went out of control and deviated the race from its purpose. primitive reasoning, excessive self-centeredness, wild passions, dissolute sentiments. All these easily lured human beings into involvement with the forces of involution. The soul reduced its inflow and succumbed to the influence of the forces of darkness. Things could not go on like that. Humanity was in need of purification. The sublime energies radiated light from eternity. The light shattered the darkness. The darkness trembled. Clashes among the forces of involution on the physical etheric level unleashed cataclysms. Volcanoes erupted. Earthquakes rent the earth. Landslides devoured entire villages. Lemuria was swallowed up by the waters that spurted from inside the earth and overflowed from the seas. Meanwhile, lands begin to emerge, and these lands would form the continent of Atlantis. Those humans who had yielded to the forces of involution carried heavy individual and group karmic debts into their reincarnations, which very often continued to be enticed by denseness and by self-centeredness. However, throughout the ages, individuals who seek higher life gradually return to the path and help to awaken others. Thus, the Lemurians who had followed the teaching returned to the surface of the earth to serve the uplifting of the newborn humanity. Groups of chosen remnants were guided to certain areas to become part of the new race that was to follow in some distant future. Furthermore, many Lemurians chose to be present today, in these critical times of planetary transition, in order to cooperate with the rescue operation. Do you think that we could have been there too? Our prehistory continued spanning the cycles of remote eons. It came a little closer, just 10 million years ago, or according to another viewpoint, a mere 80 million years ago. It was humanity's childhood on this planet Earth, which was to be our dwelling place for ages and ages. The lands formed the enormous continent of Atlantis, which stretched to the north, to the east, to the west, and even took in a part of South America. The humanity on this tiny earthly globe, within the immensity of the cosmos, went on evolving. The Earth went on consolidating, becoming more and more dense. Human beings developed their emotional body. They continued to make their choices through free will. Very advanced humanities from other planets, stars, suns came to their aid. Earthly humans attained highly developed knowledge and were able to manipulate the laws of matter. Many of them had astral vision. Sublime energies sent beings who incarnated on planet Earth in order to elevate humanity. These beings brought teachings of goodness, of discernment, of detachment in using goods, of virtues, of obedience to the great law. There was even an empire in which the kings obeyed universal laws that were evolutionary. But these kings ended up intermixing with earthly vibrations. Matter mesmerized the humans. They lost the opportunity for inner growth. Humans were enmeshed in material goods, in possession, in this is mine. They used psychic forces, black magic, to attain their self-centered aims. Thus they inflated their own ignorance, their own fanaticism, their own malice. They fought, enslaved, killed, stole, falsified, cheated, in order to gain possession of material goods, of lands, and of dominion over other humans. The people of Atlantis were still spiritually immature, and they went astray in illusions and allurements. Because of their highly sophisticated technical manipulation of matter, in which they disregarded the laws of creation, they lost control of lethal toxics. They had to abandon their cities. The wise ones and men of vision were eliminated. The planetary hierarchy withdrew to the inner worlds. Things could not go on like that. Humanity was in need of purification. On the astral level, clashes among forces of involution disgorged widespread destruction. Nature reacted by unleashing cataclysms in order to free humanity from the obstacles that were obstructing its higher development. Once again, catastrophic floods gushed over the lands. Torrential rain cascaded, rivers overflowed, tides engulfed the shores, the crust of the earth gave way, Atlantis sank. Some inhabitants who managed to escape from the rising waters came across other lands that were emerging. Incarnations followed upon incarnations. Seeds of the Atlantean race began to build the race that was to come next. Do you think that we could have been there too? Eons followed eons. The fifth race, the Aryan race, began to dawn. Some humans brought with them into incarnation an infinitesimal gleam of the teaching of love that had been kindled in them during their life as Atlanteans. Others returned to incarnation even more intensely involved with the forces of evil, always seeking to expand their power of possession, control over matter, dominion over other humans, proprietorship of nature, dissolute ownership of their own dense bodies, which had been bestowed on humans to be temples of the soul that was pursuing its path of evolution. In the Aryan race, humanity reinforced the developments that had occurred in the former races, and also developed the concrete mental body, the body of the soul, and the very beginnings of the development of the monad or spirit. But this archhumanity insisted on continuing to seek its own physical well-being and the gratification of its emotions. It rebuffed those who were sent by the light. It ended up repelling the teaching that pointed out the way to love the truth, to love every creature in universal creation, to love the path of return to the origin, to love each human of the surface of the earth just as one loves oneself, to love the supraphysical humanities, to love the humanities of other planets, above all, in everything, to love the only one. The destiny of each human as individual entity, of the human kingdom as humanity entity, and of the earth as planet entity, intermingled on the path of return to the origin. Today, we are living the fifth sub-race of this Aryan race. The planet has reached its maximum densification. What is our current history telling us? Humanity continues to be oblivious, to be dormant. Self-centeredness separates people from one another and from all creation. Reproductive sexuality is disfigured. The lure of matter sweeps humanity away. Decisions made for the sake of power and control play into the hands of the forces of involution. The sense of mine and yours has become, what is mine, and what is yours is also mine. Everything is commercialized in order to amass greed, power, and possession, misappropriating from those who have little and exploiting this tiny earthly globe that so heartily embraces the kingdoms that dwell here and is so lovingly upheld by the energies of light. And what for? To overindulge those who are already satiated. Some well-known examples immediately come to mind. Land, mineral, forests are the prey of megalomaniacs in plunder by wars, extermination, and fraud. Our younger brothers of the animal kingdom are reduced to meat-making machines for human consumption. In these 60 seconds, 100,000 have just been killed. 100,000. Mega industries unrestrictedly disgorge toxics into the defenseless environment. The rich, worn out by their dissolute way of life, try to gain a few more years by transplanting kidneys bought from the poor, or worse still, stolen from the poor by hospital mafias. The human body, temple of the soul, is deviated by prostituted sexualism, pornography, lust, chemical dependency, worldliness. Human reproduction is blatantly manipulated and lucratively commercialized through the sale of sperm, ovules, in vitro fertilization, surrogate motherhood, irresponsible cloning. And all the world knows that verdant lands are turning into deserts, waters are being poisoned, and right now, the threat of a nuclear holocaust hovers over all of us. Moreover, it is known that human beings from ancient Atlantis are presently active in the governments of great modern powers, using every means possible to manipulate forces, applying black magic to expand their economy. Once again, things cannot go on like this. We, humanity, are in need of purification. We have to begin again, but in another way, on different grounds, a little closer to what we really are. It is our own behavior that is speeding up this chaos, that is beginning to afflict humanity. It is our own behavior that is speeding up this chaos that is beginning to afflict humanity. An erupting volcano here, an earthquake over there, a tsunami on the other side of the globe, a series of tornadoes, an iceberg melting somewhere in heated waters, an unidentified lethal virus, an uncharted toxic nuclear leakage, extermination of millions by famine, drought, wars, and epidemics. The purification unleashed by the cataclysms will open the way for the new humanity, a humanity that will be more subtle, more elevated, that will no longer accept to live as an egotistical society. Planet Earth and its renegade humanity of the surface, so deeply loved by the sublime energies of the cosmos, must continue their process of evolution. Today, like yesterday, we human beings have difficulty in letting go of our attachment to the dense things in life. But in all ages, our humanity has always received help from on high. At different times, extraterrestrial consciousnesses at the service of the Most High have incarnated to guide us. From Venus came the impulse for us to expand our consciousness and to speed up our evolution. A being came from Venus and incarnated at different stages of humanity to teach us universal love, the love that simply forgets itself in favor of others. 2,000 years ago, Jesus, this sublime being from Venus, once again came among us, bringing teachings of divine origin to sow the seeds of the new humanity. And the Christic energy of cosmic love permeated the planet by means of the bodies of the incarnated Jesus. According to a certain narrative, one day, this great instructor from Venus gathered round him a small group to reflect on the pathways of humanity. He said, "From all eternity, the supreme energy, like an immense fire of love, emitted thousands of millions of radiant particles of itself into a vast spherical expanse. There, the particles were to develop, grow, and expand into their own individual and intelligent life. The eras and the ages are necessary for these living sparks to develop through the eternal law of evolution. And amidst the millions of spirits of light that dwell in the Father's house are the mentors, masters, and guides of these divine sparks who never, never abandon their development and evolution until they see those sparks enter the sanctuary of divine knowledge. Across the long ages, we have traversed all the stages of eternal progress, and we don't know how many more centuries we still have to go before we reach the goal. Master, what is that goal we are to reach?" asked one of the young listeners. Jesus answered, "The supreme intelligence, the eternal absolute, from where we departed one day like a spark catapulting from a fire, and one day we are to return to it converted into living flames." Today we know from the teaching that these sparks are the monads or spirits that plummeted from the eternal fire and set out on their long journey through many lives in the various kingdoms until they become transformed into living flames and return to the eternal fire. Sometimes great hierarchical consciousnesses from planetary centers bring forth spiritual centers in the midst of civilizations to disseminate the teaching of eternal wisdom. These spiritual centers light up the path of ascent and service for the sparks that are wending their way as human lives. It was thus that an emanation from the planetary center of Mir Najar manifested the consciousness of Figuera, and that consciousness brought forth this spiritual center on the physical level where we are presently gathered. Once, eons ago, each one of us left the eternal fire as a spark and embarked on a pilgrimage in quest of consummate fulfillment. Today, we are being sustained on our journey of return to our origin by the energy of this Figueira spiritual center. Today, in the midst of this confused, chaotic world, a transmuted being walks with us here in the spiritual center and shares the teachings of ancient wisdom received from the hierarchies to help us follow the spiritual pathway of return. But we could wonder, what flickers of fire differentiate, yet at the same time unify, the eternal, uncreated flame and the physically manifested spiritual center of Figueira? From deep within our being comes the response of consciousness to the call for unification with the One. The energy of the second ray, love wisdom, the Christic cosmic energy, essential for this solar system where we live and move and have our being on this tiny planet Earth, radiates the impulse for humans to merge with their origin and interconnects levels of consciousness. The energy of the sixth ray, devotion and surrender, and the energy of the seventh ray, order and organization, draw the pilgrimaging souls and spirits towards the One, guided by the hierarchies. But how did Figueira come to be on the physical level? Nobody founded this spiritual center. Nobody came here with a blueprint, with tangible objectives, to set up a unique organization in such and such a place at a certain moment in history. Things did not come about this way. So then, how did it happen? Figueira is the materialization of an archetype in the plan of evolution. This archetype is shaped on the physical level by individuals who have the task to receive, to respond to, and to act on the material level of the surface of the earth in order to implant what the sublime energies, the hierarchies, inspire, so that the specific portion of the plan of evolution destined for humans on planet Earth may be fulfilled. So Figueira exists here today, organized in a dynamic and unique way, because the impulse for its materialization comes from the hierarchies and not from any human leadership. We know from documented reports, even live recordings, what happened one night in the Valley of Aix near Cordoba in Argentina. That night, hierarchies from the planetary centers of Mictlantecuhtli, Aix, and Aurora manifested themselves in lights clearly visible in the sky. Through the voice of Saruma, a hierarchy of the Alpha and Omega Council, who was temporarily incorporated in a human physical body. That night, hierarchies from the planetary centers of Mictlantecuhtli, Aix, and Aurora manifested themselves in lights clearly visible in the sky. Through the voice of Saruma, a hierarchy of the Alpha and Omega Council, who was temporarily incorporated in a human physical body, the hierarchies transmitted the vision of the plan of evolution for this spiritual center. The hierarchy Sikuma, high commander of the planetary center of Aix, also present as a radiant light, announced that Figueira is a sacred place. He revealed that in the central part of this country, of Brazil, a core would be formed, which would be symbolized by a large fig tree, in Portuguese, figueira. And this figueira, or fig tree, would branch out into sections and activities that would awaken to become a city of the future, an environment with conditions of energy and vibration that would be conducive to the development of the new genetic code which was being implanted in the consciousness of individuals. On that memorable night in the Valley of X, 19 years ago, the words spoken by Saruma resound as though they were being said today. Thus says Commander Sikuma, the hierarchies of X send you the sublime essence of love to awaken you to the cosmic path and to tell you of the task that tomorrow you will be able to carry out, and we can thus perceive within ourselves this sister of ours, the city of Figueira, that will awaken tomorrow. You each have a message within yourself. Try to decipher it when we call you, so that each one may share with fellow beings in different galaxies, and also with brothers of the surface of the earth. The elder brothers will guide you tomorrow in the awakening of these times, and doubt not, everything will take place in the Father's love. And Saruma ended with a message sent by the hierarchy Astar Asgran, High Commander of the Christic Hierarchy. Love and light. So that night, the organization and guidance of Figueira Spiritual Center were entrusted to the human being whose monad, or spirit, had recently been transmuted, and who had accepted, with an unconditional yes, the immeasurable task that was being requested of him. Hierarchies from Mirnajad Planetary Center would emanate the impulses to manifest the spiritual center. Collaborators, attuned with their inner nuclei, either engaged actively, as we are here, or united on subtle levels of the mind or soul, in harmony with the higher will of the plan, would, as a group, seek to discern and implant in Figueira Spiritual Center an elevated and unique form of organization that would be in the world but not of the world. This Figueira Spiritual Center has been manifesting for 2 decades in a dynamically unique way. But we could ask ourselves, what makes this organization unique? What makes it unusual? 9 aspects of the organization of this spiritual center, among others, could be highlighted. Let's take a look at them. 1. To sow the seeds of future civilization. Saruma spoke of the awakening on the physical level of a city that already exists on the etheric level. Awakening could be understood as creating very tangible conditions for something much more elevated than any merely human enterprise to come into manifestation. This symbolic city is not like so many cities we know of or that once existed in the history of this humanity. Here, the seeds of future civilization are sown. The spiritual center is built on patterns of conduct for the new humanity, not on this humanity which we have such a hard time letting go, but the new humanity, such as we find outlined in Trigueirinho's books. To cultivate a future civilization presupposes to express attitudes that are totally contrary to what we see in society around us. For example, point two, to surrender one's free will to the will of one's higher self. The hierarchy summon us to serve the plan together with our elder brothers and with our brothers from the surface of the earth. Our choices are focused on a single choice within the greater will and no longer on our self-centered choices as we have always done throughout the history as humans. To overcome worldliness, point three. Saruma said, "This place is sacred. This is what we are seeking to implant here. Therefore, worldly actions, situations, and attitudes, which are so commonplace in everyday society, are dissuaded and avoided in life within the spiritual center." Four, to deal with the world without becoming ensnared in the world. It's not a question of patching up the old society which tries to creep into the spiritual center, but of being in this world without being of this world. Technology and information from current society, when applied with discernment, are certainly indispensable for the spiritual center to operate functionally on the physical level. But what makes a difference is that knowledge and technology are never an end in themselves. Point five, to become detached from possessions. In the spiritual center, there's no leeway for what is mine and what is yours. This bias, which has so often sidetracked us from the pathway ever since the first races. Whoever comes to Figuera can notice that nothing in the center belongs to anyone. Lands, buildings, equipment, production, publications, units, tasks, talents, everything belongs to the One, from whence we shot out like sparks from a flame. The spiritual center does not even have members, but only participants on different levels of consciousness who commit themselves as a group to follow the path of return to the origin and to serve the plan of evolution. Therefore, here, each one is responsible for taking care of everything in the smallest details and is responsible for letting go of the age-old bonds of possession, material possession, emotional possession, intellectual possession, power possession. Six, to upraise the sexual instinct. In all races and in all cycles, dense instinctive sexuality has deviated us from our real destiny. In Figuera Spiritual Center, sexuality is depersonalized and sublimated through the practice of celibacy and the joy of creative and generous service. At the same time, the feminine and masculine polarities are gradually becoming balanced and unified, thus opening up the way for the androgyny of the new humanity. Point seven, to cultivate peaceableness. The new genetic code is already being implanted in human consciousness, preparing for the humanity of the future. For this new genetic code to unfold in humans, there has to be an environment of inoffensiveness and peaceableness. Therefore, here in Figuera, there is no room for aggression, competition, authoritarianism, domination, individualism, self-pity. Eight, to further the evolution of the animal kingdom. The widespread assassination of animals for sport, research, or human consumption is decisively repelled. Therefore, strict vegetarianism is observed in Figueira. More importantly, the animal kingdom is cared for like a younger brother, a task which is inherent in our own development as humans. And now, this is what makes the real difference. Point 9. To destabilize what is stable and allow newness to surface. The organization of Figueira Spiritual Center is dynamically unique. Why is this so? Because it does not seek to establish conventional stability, which is the normal aim of ordinary life. Rather, in Figueira, things are constantly created, changed, recreated, activated, deactivated, sustained, substituted. All the partitions are changed around. A door is closed, but then two windows are opened. Seeds of the future are sown in that which is valid within the destabilization taking place. A spiritual center that has as its explicit aim to discern and live the greater aim of the plan of evolution generates a form of dynamic organization that the world does not know. For our decadent societies that are already undergoing global purification, to destabilize what is stable and allow newness to surface is evidently a sign of contradiction. And perhaps, who knows, maybe even a sign of something a little bit illuminated by that flame from where we exited as sparks to begin our journey through created worlds, and where someday, at a time far beyond all time, we will return as living flames. However, we humans of the surface of the earth have taken far too long to recognize what we are and to perceive our real destiny. The inevitable cataclysmic purification of planet Earth is already stirring us to the necessary transformations. And these transformations could begin here and now in this spiritual center. We began these reflections by recalling our humanity's long journey of development. We end with this challenge. We who volunteered in past ages to be here at this time, guided by eternal teaching, are here to visualize, materialize, live, and radiate the unique organization of Figueira Spiritual Center. But we could wonder, are we really here?